guys, we greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know whether what Brother Mpanyana spoke about here really sink in with you.
Amen.
Amen. Never give up on a backslider.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Never give up on a backslider.
Amen.
Never give up on a backslider.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes you don't know how lucky you are till you are out today.
Amen.
Sometimes you don't know how privileged you are until you are out today. Sometimes when a person backslides, they backslide after there's been so much persuasion. Sometimes some persuasions, I've seen them going overnight, running into several hours, warning about the dangers and so forth. But a lot of times a person doesn't say, I want to backslide. They just become casual with God. They just become casual with the message. And they just become casual with what the pastor or whatever counsel that the pastor giveth it to them. But once they are gone, sometimes 6 months, 3 months, it's a long time. I had a brother that I've been persuading for a long time. And he just sent me a message and said, Pastor, only if I can come to church, even if you don't allow me to come to church, if I can sit by the window outside so that I can hear the word of God. And wonder, this is the man that was in church. This is the man that had the privilege. But he took a certain road and did not know that it was a slippery slope. And the coming back is becoming difficult. Remember the prodigal son? When he went, it was downhill. But when he was supposed to come back, it was uphill.
Hallelujah.
And one thing about backsliders is that what makes them difficult to be reconciled sometimes, it's laced with pride. Hallelujah. Pride is the greatest stumbling block towards people being reconciled to the Lord. Because when you get reconciled, you've got to go down like the prodigal son on the father's feet and say, Father, I'm very sorry for everything that I've done, and I'm ashamed of what I've done. Brother Branham says, I've seen sorrowful sights in my entire ministry. I've seen women begging for food by the roadside several days. But it says the most pathetic thing that I've ever seen was to see a man that could have been a son of God dying without God. And people are beginning, having spent time in the message for a long time, and they take a certain road, keep a wrong company, and the next thing that they are gone, you can hardly recognize them. But we're simply saying, never give up on a backslider. Go after the backslider. Brother Broom says, when you backslide, you lose the fellowship, but it doesn't change who you are in relations to God. And when someone say, I want to make it right with God, I don't care how long they've been wrong. You don't need to ask a lot of things. It's a rescue mission. Jump into the ship. Let's go, my brother. Are we together? When a person comes back to the Lord, we don't have time to interrogate. You remember what you said before you left? No. It will be unchristian. A rescue mission, when you rescue someone, you don't care about previous conversations. All you are saying, jump into this. Let's get out of this so that you can be safe. Are we together? And sometimes people backslide to reveal our attitude, those that are remaining in the camp. And I've never been a fan of anybody that would see somebody backsliding and think that on that basis, you see, we are goody-goody, we are still around. It's a wrong attitude. Are we together? And sometimes I can speak on this for a moment. Some people, one phone call to a backslider can change the course of events. Hallelujah. We have heard of testimonies where a backslider was about to commit suicide, but a call came in and realized that, do they still love me? And they changed on whatever they wanted to do. Are we together? But anyway, folks, let's not take this message casually. Amen. Can I have an amen on that one?
Amen.
Just 2 minutes. Take your seats. I just want our sister to come here. I'm not going to be long, don't worry. Sister Miranda, if she can just come. The sister's got a... And maybe as she comes, church, you have to allow the Spirit to move. We just baptized her last week. You've got to allow the Spirit to move and for God to speak in the manner that He sees fit. I've realized that sometimes as we grow on the weight, sometimes someone can come and say, ah, why doesn't the pastor go deeper? Why doesn't he speak? When I mentioned, I remember I preached the message when God shows up, I was standing here, and I kept on saying to the church, all sins are forgiven. I said, can you repeat after me? And it was difficult for many of you to join me and say, ah, but we are believers. All sins are forgiven. That statement changed this sister's life. Amen. Sister, just 2 minutes, 3 minutes, just give them the snippets and then before I go on.
Stay far from the church. I stay right just up there, number 28, then Benar. My story is I've suffered so much in my life, and in a way, instead of coming to God, I lived a life of sin, and in the process, I got depressed. And in my depression, the only way out for me was death. And because I also had kids and that life I was living, the only thing I could think of that could get me out of this depression was to kill myself and kill my kids. But I thank God that He kept us alive even though I tried so many times. But it wasn't time for us to go yet. And during my depression, I got admitted in hospital twice. And in my second time, when I was admitted in hospital, I met a group of wonderful ladies that changed me. They told me all hope is not lost. I should try God. Amen. And in that, we had prayer sessions every night in the hospital till we got out one by one. And when I got out of the hospital, it was a Friday. And on that same Sunday, I woke up late, but I told myself that I'm going to church because this is the church that I came whenever I felt like going to church. So I came here on that fateful Sunday. On that Sunday, I came here. I was still a bit not okay, but I found courage to be here. And when the pastor came, and just like he said, his message was when God shows up. That message touched my heart. And when he said, all sins are forgiven, because the problem was, I never thought God could forgive me for what I've done, for the life I've lived. So in that moment, I felt such a relief. And I decided to give my life to Christ. And I took a decision to be baptized. And from that moment, because my life right now, it depended on drugs to be normal. From that Sunday, even before I was baptized, just because I took that decision, I slept like a baby that Sunday. I didn't need sleeping clothes to help me sleep. And From that Sunday till today, I no longer take sleeping pills to sleep. I sleep on my own, and I sleep enough, I rest enough. So I thank God for this church and for the ladies that came into my life. They saved me. So I'm thankful to God. Amen.
Amen. Because of time, there was a time when she did not want anything to do with God. When she announced to the ladies that she's going to be baptized, they all came, her former sisters that she was with in the mental hospital, they came to witness and say, this is a miracle. They were there when Brother Philip baptized her. So we say, God is gracious. God is gracious. Amen. And on the basis of this testimony, depression can be broken.
Amen.
Depression can be broken, folks. You can clap much better. Depression can be broken. Amen. God bless you, Sister Miranda. I know you couldn't get into certain sensitive details, but you are now having these people as your family. The sisters will rally around you, advise you as you grow in the Lord. God bless you richly.
Amen.
Amen. Is Wiganyo here? It is here. Can that young girl stand up, folks? That young girl is 13 years old. Only 13 years old. That girl, the young girl that she comes with, is 3 years old. This young girl, her mother took her to her church. She went to church. When she was in that church, she said, I don't feel any connection. And she came into my office weeping and said, Pastor, all I need is for my family to come into the message. If they can receive this message, my family will straighten up.
Amen.
Stay with me. When I had a row of people coming to see me, I kept on overlooking her because she's young. I thought maybe she must have come with an elderly person. One of the ladies that I, sisters that I saw, she must have. When the queue was done, she was the only one remaining. I said, are you here to see me? He says, yes, I'm here to see you. She got into my office and said, I'm only with my baby sister. I told my father never to drop me at any church. I only come with my baby sister here. Our father drops us here. And ever since I came in contact with this message, I'm dressing right. I know this message is the only hope for my family. Folks, at 13, many are worried about dresses. Many are worried about dolls. But to see a young girl such as this, having a burden upon her shoulders, say, God, may you intervene in my family. And I say, may God honor this young girl's heart. God bless you. Amen. So you see, when we come to church, sisters, you need to think bigger. You've got to be motherly. Don't just go past people. Say, sometime pause. Get to know the person. Who are you? Hallelujah. If such a child at such a young age is in church, immediately you need to mother her. Are we together?
Amen.
Amen. This service, may it be the only hope for somebody today in church. It may not be you, it may be the person sitting next to you. They may be coming and say, this is my last service. And if we grieve the Holy Spirit, we may be responsible for certain deaths. As we stand to our feet, I'm not going to keep you long. As we turn to the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. By the way, Wiganyo wants to be baptized. You can clap hands for them. They're right. You can do much better than that, folks. You can do much better than that. Hallelujah. Amen. If she was going to a nightclub, they would have clapped hands and really picked her up. But in church, we just say, it's not a big deal. It's a big deal. Heaven is rejoicing. Amen. Zechariah 3, verse 1 to 4. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. I like the phrase, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Are we together? How many can say this morning, by the grace of God, I am that I am? Amen. Amen. And there is a quotation there. We'll just read it together. The brothers, if they can bring it up there. Amen. And while they are bringing it, my message this morning is a product of grace. Amen. Do you have products of grace this morning? Products of grace. A product of grace. Repeat after me. Our hearts are happy.
Our hearts are happy.
The joy, the jubilee is on.
The jubilee is on.
Not just a jubilee for one day.
Not just a jubilee for one day.
But a jubilee for eternity.
But a jubilee for eternity.
In glory the angels are singing.
In glory the angels are singing.
Oh, the church.
Oh, the church.
The triumph
is singing.
The joy bells are ringing.
The joy bells are ringing.
Souls that were once condemned to death,
souls that were once condemned to death,
and to die,
and to die,
and go to the devil's grave,
and go to the devil's grave.
The devil has been conquered.
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 Death has been conquered.
Death has been conquered.
The grave has been conquered.
The grave.
Sickness has been conquered. Superstition has been conquered. Malice has been conquered. Hatred has been conquered. Indifference has been conquered. Starchiness has been conquered. Don't be starchy. Starchiness has been conquered. Self-styles has been conquered. Everything is conquered. Christ is the great conqueror.
Christ is the great.
How many agree with the statement this morning? Amen. You can take your seats. Amen. Without a waste of time, let me just go straight to my point and wrap up. In no time. Amen. On the text that we have read, we see the high priest Joshua standing before the angel of the Lord. Brother Branham says the angel of the Lord is the Lord himself. Hallelujah. He goes into that office of being called an angel of the Lord to minister to the needs of the saints. But the angel of the Lord is the Lord himself. Hallelujah. And I would like to believe that he who showed Zechariah, Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, the very angel of the Lord is the one that showed Zechariah all these things. Amen. Amen. And Satan at his right hand to resist him. So you've got Joshua the high priest, you've got the angel of the Lord, you've got Joshua appearing before the angel of the Lord, and while he appeared at the angel of the, before the angel of the Lord, Satan is standing at his right hand to resist him. Hallelujah. The devil is allowed to come into the presence of the Lord from time to time. And you'll go, and as you read, the Bible says, when the sons of God appeared before God, the accuser of the brethren as well appeared before God. Hallelujah. Are we together? Amen. Now, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Or before we get there, the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. So while Joshua is standing in the presence of the Lord and appearing before the angel of the Lord, the high priest, which represented all of us, hallelujah, in his presence, then Satan wanted to dispute or to resist him. And while he wanted to resist him, I think Satan must have had his own basis why he wanted to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the water? Now Joshua was clothed not with clean garments, but was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel of the Lord. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. How many remember the song that he took away my tattered garment? Amen. Hallelujah. How many did he take away a tattered garment from him? Amen. Hallelujah. So we are looking at Joshua the high priest representing a sinner coming in a state that was imperfect, coming into a state that was sinful, coming into a state that was unacceptable, in a state that was unholy. But while he had come into the presence of God, and Satan wanted to use that to resist him, to dispute with him, to deny him the access, to say he's unworthy. Are we together? But while he's there, then the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. And I want to say this morning, we are into his presence. And as we have appeared into his presence, it does not make the devil is not immune from coming into his presence. As we are into his presence this morning, the devil may be in his presence, resisting some of you, disputing with some of you that you are unworthy. Are you here, folks? And many of us, maybe this morning we may not be putting our own filthy garments, but I had much better tell you the other time I say, when you are a Christian, you repent daily. There are certain thoughts that you had. If we were to put the thoughts that you had in a graphic form, and we as a church look at your thoughts, some of you, you will hang your head in shame. Hallelujah. Yes, you have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on, sisters, are you here? You may never have thought, many people, when you think about a thought, maybe you think or filthy sexual thoughts. Sometimes your husband makes you angry and say, but why, oh goodness, God, why don't you just make him die? If we were to take the very thought and project it here, and you look at your thoughts, many of you, you'll hang your head in shame. Why am I saying that? It's because a human mind was chosen as God's battleground. This is where the devil and God are fighting. And as a result, the only way they fight through the thoughts. In a realm of a mind, the only weapon that we have is the thoughts. There are certain thoughts that you have had that were engineered by the devil. Hallelujah. Even Christians sometimes have evil thoughts. Hallelujah. But Brother Branham says it's like blades flying all over your head. Hallelujah. But if they build a nest on your head, then you are responsible. Are we here together? Resist the devil, he shall flee away from you. Amen. The onus is on you to have the willpower and say, devil, I know you've put this thought in my mind, but I will not act upon this thought because I'm a daughter of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And certain thoughts, they come and engulf you, and you become a prisoner to that thought until one day God breaks the cycle. And you realize that that was a bad thought, and through the inspiration of the word, you get delivered to your own thoughts. A lot of times, this morning, the reason people are in so many problems, it has to do with their thinking. Are we together? The more you think, as the sister was giving, depression is more of a thinking disease from where I'm sitting. It's where the devil floods with certain thoughts. You are unworthy. This is what is happening. You cannot cope. This is what is happening. Then you get overwhelmed by your own thoughts. And sometimes he puts you on a guilty trip and later and say, but why don't you just take a gun and shoot at yourself? But this morning, we are here to fix your thinking. And the only way to fix your thinking, let the mind that was in Christ, let the same mind be in you. Amen. What I'm simply saying, think his way of thinking. Are we together? Amen. Think your way of thinking is vulnerable. It is going to give you problems. But while he had come, Joshua, into the Lord's presence and the devil wanted to resist him, what amazes me is that Joshua was not in a state that he could appear in the presence of God. Why would he appear in filthy garments? Hallelujah. Because he who comes to the Lord must be holy, for the Lord is holy. But he is a character that was unholy. Wearing filthy garments, coming, appearing in the presence of God. And the devil said, I've got a legitimate reason that this man cannot be a worshiper of God based on what I know he has done and based in the state that he finds himself in. And he thought he and God are going to agree that Joshua must be unaccepted. And you are representing Joshua this morning. But why would God tell the David and not rebuke Joshua, but say to the David, David, the Lord rebukes you. Hallelujah. Let me put it this way. It is because Joshua, whether he was in that state or not that state, it did not change as to who possessed Joshua. God was still the one that possessed Joshua. And God could not disown Joshua, whether he was holy or unholy. And this morning, many of you, that God will never disown you, no matter how you are. And I'm not encouraging irresponsible living. When you love God, you want to please him. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll repeat that. When you love God, you really want to please him. And if you don't want to please him, it shows that you don't love him. Are we together? You will never want to offend the person that you love. You want to please them and you want to know what you want to know. Are we together? Are we together? Are you here? Amen. Amen. It's a brother eating chippies. If you can just stop somewhere, it's causing a bit of distraction. Amen. 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 Are we together?
Amen.
Now, so he appeared in his presence. Are we together? Joshua in the state that he was unworthy. How many remember the time when they were unworthy? Right. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 51, we're going to read it together, verse 5. Psalm 51, verse 5. Can we read it together if it comes up on the screen? Psalm 51, verse 5. Are we reading, Brother Lucky? Okay. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Are we all reading? And in sin did my mother conceive me. And if you were shaped in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you, it does not matter who you are, you were rejected from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God cannot embrace his sin. Are we together? Yes. But why you were like this? The reason sometimes the devil thinks that he can dispute God. The devil knows. Do you know that the devil knows your genealogy, your lineage? The devil knows if you speak about a family tree. The devil is a master of the family tree than anybody else. The devil knows what your great grandfather did 72 years ago, and he knows that demon that was upon him. He can be able to make sure that it gets transferred to one family member and from that family member to another family member until it comes to you. Are we together? And this morning, if we all were shaped in iniquity and if all we were born in sin, this morning there is no family tree that is perfect. Hallelujah. And some, you can think about your own and say, oh, in my family, we've got this professional. You are lying. There are certain individuals that you avoid in your family tree. And you say, goodness, can I associate with that? How many know that every family has got black sheep? Yes, sir. Oh, there are people that we want to hide when there are family gatherings. And they really show up at a very inopportune time. Right where you thought, goodness, everything is sorted, your uncle rocks up and you say, uncle should have not come here. Hallelujah. But no matter how much you reject the uncle is still part of your family tree. Hallelujah. Some of you say, everything went fine until the uncle spoke. We all have family members. When you begin to speak to us about them, we really look down because we get ashamed. But God has allowed that. And if you've got a family member who you are not proud of because of how they live and you regard them as a black sheep, all I'm simply saying, every black sheep has got a demon upon their life. And that demon, even though you are a message believer and you have given birth to your children, if your children do not experience the new birth, they can grow up and be like your uncle. The only thing that can break the cycle, and some of you are irritated by your children, but your children are exactly like you before you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to know how you are? Look at your brother, look at your son, look at your daughter. If they are without the new birth, it may be exactly what you would have become if you did not experience the new birth. So as a parent, you go on your knees and say, let the same experience that I've experienced, let my children experience the same experience. And if they don't experience the same experience, what is going to happen? Family spirits are going to jump onto them. And in the message, I've realized the greatest spirit to break is a family spirit. Hallelujah. The only thing that can reverse the damage that the family spirit does is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Actually, anyone without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they may be baptized in water, but they may still be possessed by the family spirit. Hallelujah. And folks, let me tell you something. Some of marriages, even in the message, are unhappy, not because the brother's not right, but it's because the brother has got a family spirit upon his life. And I'm saying the baptism in the water does not take away the family spirit. The only thing that takes away the family spirit is to be baptized in the water and to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Then it takes away the family spirit. Are we together? And when a man has got a family spirit or a woman has got a family spirit, many marriages were destroyed by family spirits. There are certain families, they are just arrogant. They can never say, I'm sorry. It is in their makeup. Mama never said, I'm sorry. Grandmother never said, I'm sorry. And I will never say, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. And some of them, they are baptized in the water. They sing Amazing Grace, but the family spirit is built upon their lives. But I can tell you, once you have had a divine encounter and God baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, you rise above your family spirit and you look at them and say, was I like them? And the only difference between you and them is the grace of God. Are you with me, folks? So the devil understands your DNA. Listen, folks, you forget. You forget what you used to enjoy. But the devil does not forget what you used to enjoy. And every habit that you have ever dropped on the journey called life, the devil has come after you to pick up the same habit and put it in the bag. And you drop that habit, he picks it up, he puts it in the bag. From time to time, he comes closer to you and opens the bag and say, you remember, everything is still here. Are we together? And if your walk with God was not a personal experience, from time to time, you rise, but you fall back in the very thing that you were delivered from. Because what is happening, you have left the house vacant. And the demon moved around and told others that I was cast out from a certain house, but let me go and check whether the house is occupied. And when they come and find that the house is not occupied, yes, you can be in church. Yes, you can sing Amazing Grace. Yes, you can be a preacher. Yes, you can be a deacon. Yes, you can be an elder. It does not matter. As long as the house is unoccupied, the same demon will come back and look that the house is unoccupied and will go back and invite more friends. And then you end up being worse off. Every person here, no matter how dignified or how they are, there is a spirit that they struggled with before they came into the message. Hallelujah. And that spirit, it has not gone anywhere. Every day it is coming to make an inspection. Is there anybody in the house? Hallelujah. But the moment it can discover that no one is in the house, you are in trouble. So the devil understands your DNA. I'm told that even with music, the reason you move in a certain way is because there is a certain melody that if you play, a certain specific muscle will respond to that melody. So the devil, before he designs music, he knows the anatomy of man. He understands the muscles. He understands the beats that will move the muscle. Hallelujah. That is why sometimes a song can be so good, but if it has a beat that has got a wealthiness in it, it causes a sister that is holy to begin to gyrate. Gyrate is to dance in a sexual manner because it's not her. There is a beat that makes a certain muscle in the body to move in a certain way, in a sexual manner. But the devil knows your DNA. But I'm simply saying, this morning, when you are in Christ, you are a new creation. And if you're not in Christ, The devil understands you. The devil will never tempt you with what you don't want. Never. He's more cunning than that. So because you were shaped in iniquity and born in sin, the devil from the beginning, he understands the DNA. And folks, certain demons are racial. Certain demons are tribal. Hallelujah. And that's what creates what they call a misconception or a generic view about a specific group of people. Are we together? We've always known because of Shaka, there's a view that all Zulu men are aggressive. Hallelujah. And sometimes, yes, it sounds like a general statement, and we'd much better be careful not to generalize. But goodness, a few couple of them that you met, they told you how they will sort you out. Hallelujah. It's not because, it's because there is a spirit that is dominating within that tribe. And if you come to my tribe, there is a spirit that is dominating there. And any race has got a spirit dominating it. But this morning, I'm glad to the mighty conqueror. Everything has been conquered. Hallelujah. Complexes have been conquered. Hallelujah. Sin has been conquered. Classes have been conquered. Every kinds of sin to the believers has been conquered. And this morning we are the new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the things that you have ever done, everything that you have ever done, right from where you reach the age of accountability, as much as the devil was taking notes, that God was taking notes, and even the devil was taking notes. That's why you've got what they call the book of life, which is the book of deeds of that recorded everything that you have ever done. And the devil knows everything that you have done. Some of you, he can even go right when you were still infant and remind you of things that you happened to have made. And today you are in the message, but the devil uses something that you did before you came into the message and say, on this basis, you fella, you don't qualify. And you know he's right. You know you did that. Hallelujah. It was you that did that. But while the devil is accumulating everything that we have ever done, and he's using that as an accusation base to say, on this basis, I accuse this man. He is not worthy. He is not a worshiper. God, as much as I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, the Almighty God could not disown you. Yes, hallelujah. Yes. Are you not happy this morning? Yes. The Almighty God, in your mess, he could not disown you. Yes. That's why he left the corridors of eternity and became a human being and went all the way to the cross to die. What made him to do that? He could not disown his fallen creation. Yes. Let's read another scripture here. Psalm, Proverbs 8:22. Shall we read it together, folks? The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. When he possessed you, where was the devil? Hallelujah. Even before that animal was there, God, in his sovereignty, he possessed you. And when you speak about possession, he said, this one is mine. Hallelujah. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. You can read much better than that.
The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way.
Before his works of old.
Before his works of old.
What are the works of his old? Before the earth was there, God possessed you. Hallelujah. This body is part of the earth. Before the body was shaped in iniquity, before the body was born in sin, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Verse 23. I was set up from everlasting, from beginning, or ever the earth was. Hallelujah. The devil knows where you started, where you became visible, but he never saw where you started, where it was invisible. Verse 24. Amen. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled. You know, when they go to a mountain, they can extract a stone and say, this stone has got almost so thousands and thousands of years. But before the mountains, you were settled. Before the hills was I brought forth.
Before the hills was I brought forth.
Verse 26. While as yet he had not made the earth,
nor the fields,
nor the highest part of the dust of the world. Are you made of dust this morning? Before there was dust, you were there. That's why I say before this body was there, you were there. Verse 27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he prepared the folks, we are not spectators here. We are the partners of God. When he prepared the heavens, you were sitting there looking at this great God, speaking things into existence. You were there as an attribute. Before the heavens, you were there. Before the earth, you were there. Do you think God will disown you based on what happened in Genesis chapter 3? No, sir. You were there before Genesis chapter 3. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. 29. When he gave to the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed to the foundations of the earth,
then I was by him.
When he did these things, we were by him. And I want to slot in something and say, even when he created the devil, we were by him. That means we came before the devil. And God will never disown us on the basis of the creation that he brought. Before the creation, you were there. And I was daily his delight. Rejoicing always before him. You are rejoicing today because you have always rejoiced before him. You are believing today because you have always believed in him. You are conquering today because you have always conquered with him. There are certain things that God will never do without consulting you. Why did he go to Abraham and tell him that, listen, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And Abraham said, what if you find 50 righteous people there? He said, then I will not destroy it. What was happening? A human being speaking to God, coming to a mutual agreement. God is not a bully, folks. He's a loving father.
Amen.
But he hates sin. But he is a loving father. You can rest on his arms and he can rock you. That's how gentle. The same one that created the universe. The same one that made Pharaoh's army to drown. He can take you and rock you to sleep. He's got extremes based on which side you are on. You will experience either of the extremes. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. My delights were with the sons of me. 32. Now, therefore, I mean, it is done. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together?
Amen.
Amen. Did you love that piece of scripture?
Amen.
Does it bless you?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we are back away on our script or on our text. Joshua has got, he's a high priest. He represents a sinner in the presence of the Lord. He has got garment. The garment is filthy. And when he comes there, the devil is disputing and resisting him. But while he is there, God says to the devil, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Don't you know that I can take away his filthy garments and give him new garments?" And this morning, there are certain garments that we came with when we came to the Lord. They were filthy, but by the grace of God, he has taken away that garment and has given us new garment. And I'm going to read in this quotation, The Future Home, paragraph 179, and it ties back with the message that we preach when the Lord God shows up. Brother Branham says, said the same thing at the resurrection of Jesus, of Lazarus. When he came out, Lazarus, Jesus said, "Loose him, change him. He has been tired, tight. Let him go." What does it mean? The earth, are you part of the earth?
Amen.
The earth will be loosened from the grip of Satan. Hallelujah. It will be loosened. It will be loosened from politics. It will be loosened from denominational religious system to be used for the kingdom of God to establish here on earth. But as long as it's in the hands of Satan, the ruler of the earth, he owns it. As long as you remain in the hands of Satan, he owns you. And if he owns you, he can do whatever he wants to do through you. But there is a promise. The earth will be loosened from the grip of Satan.
Yes, right.
Hallelujah. Your body is part of the earth.
That's right.
Your body is a sinner.
Amen.
It was in the devil's control. And this morning, the only thing that makes you control your body is because there is a higher intelligence that God has bestowed upon you.
Amen.
This one will never come to church.
Amen.
As I'm sitting right now, some of you, the body says, "No, that's not it." There's always the battle between the spirit and the flesh. And when the spirit overcomes, you are a believer. When the flesh overcomes, you are an unbeliever. Hallelujah. He says, Satan, the ruler of the earth, he owns it. It belonged to him. I like how Brother Brim speaks it. It belonged to him. Not it belongs to him. It belonged to him. Hallelujah. But now Christ has redeemed it. He said, one time I was his property, but not now. Hallelujah. Are you here, folks? He said, one time that little woman was his property, but not now. One time, Sister Miranda was his property, but this morning, under the authority of God, she's no longer the devil's property. And you and I, because when he created the universe, we were by him. He is a king, and if we were by him, we are part of the royalty. And that means when you are part of the royalty, you can make a decree. A decree is something that the king says and it can never be reversed. And this morning the prophet of God said, you were once the devil's property. But he says, not now. I don't know how many agree with that statement. I was one. Yes, David. I remember where you took me to. I remember things that you made me commit. Yes, I was your property. But this morning, I'm no longer your property. It must be you resisting the devil and say, I am no longer your property. I'm done with you. Folks, how many remember the time when they were the devil's property? You did things that were shameful. You did the things today when you look back and say, what became of me? But today, you can rise up as a daughter of God and say, David, hallelujah, I was once the devil's property, but not now. And this morning, as much as God said to the David, David, the Lord rebuke you. This morning, you and I can rise up when the devil has come upon our children and we say, David, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we rebuke you. Amen. Hallelujah. Today we can rise up in our marriages and say, David, in the name of Jesus Christ. Am I talking to believers this morning? Do I talk to people that understand the power of God? If God can never disown you, God can never disown your ways. What you say, if it is in line with the scripture, he will bring it to pass. Say, it is written. And when you say it is written, heaven sanctions what you say. Are we together? He says, one time, I was this property, but not now. And folks, never ever return to be the devil's property. He will embarrass you. He will bring such a shame to prove anybody, to anybody else and say, who did she think she was? Sister, you will be reduced to a level where you will never recognize yourself. Hey, when you are under the covering, never leave the covering. Brother, he doesn't care. You can be a professional, but when the devil comes and disorientates you, we can even hardly recognize you. And I'm saying, never return to be the devil's property. Amen. It is not a nice experience. Amen. He who the devil owns, the devil abuses. He who the devil owns, the devil abuses. Some of you, are you not amazed that you are in the message, but you are not aging? You look young. Am I even witnessing? How many of you have you ever met your peers that you used to go to school with? Hallelujah. Are you here, folks? How many of you remember? Some of them, you meet them and say, hi, James. And you look at him and say, who is it, this old man remember me from? No, I'm James. James. We used to be in the same class. But you are wearing your suit with your tie. You are well groomed. This man, he looks deformed. He, whoever the devil owns, the devil abuses. Can we say that? He, whoever the devil owns, the devil abuses. Hallelujah. When the devil gets a hold of you, young girl, you will never be recognized by your parents. But this morning, glorify God that I was once the devil's property. But today, I am no longer his property. Folks, this message, you can be deformed by drugs, where everybody cannot look at you. But as soon as we baptize you and you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the other druggies will look at you and stop you and say, you look familiar. Were you not part of us? Because he looks at the power of transformation. This message does not transform you only spiritually. It transforms you even as well physically. Then why would you want to leave such a message? Dear Sister Maria, 85. Does she look 85? She looks like she's in her 50s. What preserved her? When Aaron's rod went into the presence of the Shekinah glory. Hallelujah. When you are in God. Oh, sisters, I want you to clap hands that. This is a better anti-aging product than you will ever find. Hallelujah. The best anti-aging product that you will ever find. It is the message of the hour. It will make you radiant even when you are 70 years old. They are the likes of Sister Malas. Does she look like an old woman?
No.
Some of young girls that have left the message, they look much older than our old ladies in church. Yes! Because they have left the product of grace, which is the message of the hour. This message will transform you no matter where you are. Spiritually, physically, financially, in every sense in your life, the message will be an answer. Hallelujah. Some men today are broke just because they are not in the message. Just because they are not in the message. It's not because they are not clever. They are clever. But they are not in the message. This message brings a sobriety. This message makes you sober. Your decisions are clearly articulated because you don't have any funny spirit. The spirit that guides you knows how life will be 5 years from now. And you make certain decisions, you realize 5 years later and say, no wonder I made that decision. Are there young girls in the building? Are there young girls in the building? If you want to age and look like Gogo, leave this message. When you come back, you will find our Gogos looking like the young ones when you are young and looking like a Gogo. The message is an anti-aging product. Is it true, brothers? Yes. You walk somewhere, you meet your friends who have their wives. You look at your wife as a goodness. She looks angelic. Oh, yes. Our wives look beautiful, folks. I'm going to break. Our wives in the message look beautiful. The ones in the world, they don't look beautiful. Hallelujah. He pulls into a pants. You don't know whether she's going that way or coming back. Hallelujah. But when a sister is dressed in the message, she looks like a lady. She is Mrs. Grace. Hallelujah. There's a young man that came here. He belongs to Assemblies of God. He has been saying, Pastor, I want to marry in this church. I said, no, not in a million chance. Go. You belong to Assemblies. Let Assemblies of God produce the product that you are looking for. Leave our products alone. Yes, leave our products alone. It's because as a young man, he looked around Assemblies and realized that, goodness, things are bad. Let me go at that church. Because our sisters, they are dressed with a garment of righteousness. You can clap hands. Hello. They don't look sexy. They look decent. They don't look sensual. They look dignified. Hallelujah. Even a drunkard, when they see our sisters going down the road, they cap off their heads. Why? God in them. Hallelujah. None of the things will ever produce that. My high school, I saw they were sending us a notification some time back. And they were saying, we need to have reunion. As matriculants, we need to make a reunion. Oh boy, I was looking forward. Not to show off a new car. No. Not to show off a career, but just to show them, who did I marry? Because I know them. Hallelujah. The wives will be there with puzzle faces. And I'll be moving around and say, this is Miss Madiba. This is Madiba. The way she's dressed. Some of them will be exposed. You don't know what. Folks, have you ever seen how pitiful it is when you are a woman and you are not a believer? And you fit into trousers that cannot fit you. The trousers is angry with your body. But our sisters comes. Hallelujah. Every time they walk, it's like there is a background track on what Christian soldiers. Hallelujah. I'm challenging you. Nothing will produce what this message has produced. The message is a product of grace. And you are the product of grace. Mashluma, we were watching a DVD where you were singing, you were still young, having colors. I was with the Skwasana we were watching. He didn't grow older. He just grew heavier. Are we together? Doesn't look old. He still looks as he was looking then. What preserves him? If you were to ask some of the men in the church how old they are, you will be shocked. You will be shocked. The message preserves you. Why? Because he took away our old tattered garments and gave us a new garment of righteousness. Amen. Brother, it is a testimony here. Every time, whenever, if he's got some of people that are visiting and he gives them a testimony that I used to be a drug addict. Listen. Not you. Because they know how a drug addict looks. They look at him. They say, oh, impossible. But you know what happened? From that life to this life, there's been a power of transformation. Mercy, mercy. There is a difference between mercy and grace. A magistrate, when you are in the court of law and you have committed a crime and you comes and you give mitigating factors and say, goodness, this is I'm a first-time offender. And he looks, I'm still a student. I'm about to write exams. The magistrate looks at you. He becomes merciless. And he says, young man, I will not take you to prison. I will put you outside, maybe with 12 months a suspension. But the magistrate, although he was merciful, he cannot change your nature. When you move out after he has been merciful, you still need to the same group of friends. You still need to hear that, I did not do it better last time, but this time I will do it better so that I cannot be caught. But this Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't only become merciful, he becomes gracious. Grace, it means he takes away the desire, he takes away the evidence, he takes everything that is associated with the act, and he does not remember it. That's what grace does. And I'm glad this morning, God was not only merciful, but he was gracious as well. He even forgot himself. Brother Branham said he took your book of life that had every deed, throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. And from this time, he looks at you through the Lamb's book of life. And with the Lamb's book of life, even though you may falter, he as well cannot unwrite your name there. Your name is there to stay. It was written before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Before the foundation of the world, God chose you. And there's nothing that surprises God. If you are a crook, or you were a crook, God, before the foundation of the world, knew that I'm choosing a crook. But I'm looking over his crooked ways because this is the point. This is my possession. Is his name in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's my son. because your name is written there, you cannot go back to a sinful life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Brother Branham says, he says, in the message of the invisible union of the bride, paragraph 222, where you are separated from your first union by spiritual death. Now you are born again or remarried again to the new spiritual union. You come by spiritual death. The first partner must never be divorced. He must die. If you divorce the David, there is chances of reconciliation. But if he dies, there is no more chances of reconciliation. And if you divorce the David, you can never be married to Christ, because your first partner is still alive. Because if God, if Christ marries you while your first partner is still alive, it makes him adulterous. So he's got to die. The old nature has got to die. The old habits have got to die. You've got to be a new creature. The reason you see people taking 5 steps forward, 10 steps backwards, they have not yet experienced the new birth. They've got only New Year's resolutions. 2019, I'll be better. I'll be a better man. I'll be a better husband. By May, they've already taken 10 steps backwards. But when you become a new creature, it doesn't matter whether it's January or February, you will never return back to the same old life. The devil is dead. Your old union is dead. You are now a new creature, and Christ can marry you. Some believers are unmarriageable because they did not allow the first partner to die. They actually put him on a coma on Sunday and resurrect him on Monday. Monday, wake up. Saturday evening, tomorrow is church. Inject him. Goes into a coma. Then you're able to sing Amazing Grace. Christ can look at you and see the same partner that you have left there somewhere and say, he is not dead. You have just put him to sleep. On Monday, you're going to wake him up. Now you wonder why your life has got ups and downs. Ups and downs. There is a season where you become an amen corner in church. There is a time where you turn like a stone. Until the people say, something happened. But when the old nature has died, you are saying amen. Even if God could allow you to say amen in your casket, you will say amen in your casket. There's nothing that will ever stop you. I'm talking here, folks. Why sometimes we've got amen corners, all of a sudden they die. The only thing that will make an amen to die is a sinful life. I said it and I'll repeat it again. The only thing that makes you not too responsive to the word of God, you have been disconnected to an almighty God through unbelief. Yes. But some men that have died to the first union and that have married Christ, even when they go, when you hear their story, you say, goodness. Can a person go through this and still rejoice like this in church? Is this person normal? He's normal. It's because the old husband is dead and is married to Christ. When there is money in the bank, he raises his hand. When there is no money in the bank, he raises his hand. A lot of people, when they run out of money, they run out of amen for the word of God. I'll repeat that. Some, when they go broke financially, they go broke spiritually. Until we pastors, we wonder, this brother used to love this note. You read it, he just stares at you. Same quotation, same preacher, same anointing. But what happened? Adam, where are thou? Running in the garden because you are disconnected from the Almighty God. There are some believers, you can visit them and stay with them. They will never say anything about the message. Nothing. You don't know what verse touched them. You don't know what song touched them. You don't know what scripture touched them. But they are believers. After church, when they are done, if they are brothers, they even carry this small Bible, just chuff it like this. Doesn't even show where he was. What happened to old-time religion? When you are coming back from church, you and your family break into a song. You don't care whether it is on the show. You are rejoicing. We were in the presence of the Lord. We were unworthy. He made us worthy. We are the product of grace. What happened to those days? Believers are disconnected. And the old demon, because David has been picking up your habits, then he says, brother, what do you need for this Saturday? I've got this habit. Tangles it, you grab it. When you come to church, because you have succumbed to a habit, you sit there, you feel guilty. When they sing Amazing Grace, you are so far. Close, but yet so far. After the service, they say, God bless you. They don't know that although you are near, but you are so far. And while you are sitting there, the devil whispers into your ear, you know what you did. If they rent an item here, you say amen, it taps you, not you, buddy. Others can rejoice, but not you. You know. Then you've got a long face. It drops. The joy of salvation is gone. You are now going through a desert. The devil has put you on a guilt trip. There's one remedy. God cannot help you. He has already done that. It's for you to do your part and rise up and say, listen. Remember I told you, when siblings normally, if your sibling can find you doing something wrong, they normally keep it to themselves. It's a weapon to control you. All of a sudden they say, the whole month, dishes are done by you. And when you say, no, they say, should we tell mommy about what you did? Oh, no. Until the parents even say, but why are you always washing dishes? So no, actually, I really enjoy washing dishes. But not knowing that you are under blackmail by your brother. The only way to be released from the blackmail is when your brother has gone out to school. You say, mommy, you remember there was a time where you had 100 rands in the purse. And I took it and spent it. I'm very sorry, mommy. I really apologize. I did not mean it. I will never do it again. And mommy say, come here, my child. I forgive you. And when your brother steps in, when there is dishes, and says, then you say, mm-mm. Say, I tell mama. You say, can tell mama because I'm forgiven. And this morning, some believers have got to tell the devil, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. You are forgiven, folks. You are free this morning. The devil does not have any say over your life. Tell him, I told Papa. And Papa said, I died for you on the cross. And I went on Mount Sinai and I claimed you. You are mine. Hallelujah. And David, I rebuke you. And this morning, as a minister of the gospel, every spirit that has put any child of God on a guilty trip, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break that spirit. And we set every brother and every sister free. And you can shout, I'm free. Are you free this side? Are you free this side? You need to make the devil know, I'm free. I'm free.
I'm free.
Hallelujah. Wherever the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. liberty. Yes. This morning, there is a liberty. Yes. I'm free. The jubilee now is on. While you were plowing, you can drop down the hole and look the master in the eye. I'm not coming back for work. This was my last time you see me. Because there is a jubilee trumpet. It has sounded. I am not coming back. The message of William Branham is a jubilee. Today, you can let go. Say, devil, I'm not coming back. And from that time, you worship God. The experience is lighter. You are able to talk about the grace of God without feeling any tag of being guilty. And when the devil says, yeah, but you did those things. Say, yes, I did them, David. That's why I appreciate the grace of God. Yes. I would never known his grace until I went through that and experienced that. I'm actually more qualified than anybody in church to talk about the grace of God. Maybe those were born in the message, but me, I've been on the rough side of life. I'm the one that has got the right praise for God. How many know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. When you sit down and say, these fellas don't know where I've been. Only if they know, they will understand why I sound crazy. Brother Brenda says, I was preaching. And as I was preaching, there was an old lady. She kept on hollering, amen. And Brother Brandon preached. She kept saying, amen. And until after the service, the deacons went to the prophet and said, wasn't that old woman disturbing you? Brandon says, the reason I could not stop, it was because of amen. But that amen, it was coming, it was born through the oven of time. She knew where the Lord took her from. She did not care who was there. Amen to that man of God. And when God has done something for you, you are not ashamed. You are like Sister Miranda. You can come stand here and say, folks, I almost killed myself. But by the grace of God, today, I've never gone back to those drugs. I'm totally delivered. This message brings a total deliverance. It needs you to yield yourself. Yes. Surrender yourself. Say, it's me. And all of us here this morning, we are the product of grace. Yes. The more of it that we have received in the end time is a product of grace. How many came here into the message in the next first few months? They never felt that they were not feeling that they are part of this. They felt that this is too holy. I'm unholy. How many is it ever? What are you feeling? You have done, you have messed up. But God took you and said, you are mine. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I cannot take it out. The devil cannot blot it out. It's there to stay. Amen. Hallelujah. And this morning we can say, we thank God and let's give him a round of applause. I'm redeemed. I want you to sing that song. I'm redeemed.
I am redeemed.
I'm redeemed. People in the building.
I'm bought with the price, Jesus, Jesus has changed my whole life.
If anybody has to,
oh, just who I am, tell them.
Many are redeemed.
Oh, I am redeemed.
dialogue this afternoon.
Oh yes, I am redeemed.
I am.
Oh, I'm
glorious.
Oh, yes.
daughters of a king are here this morning. The King of Kings. You are part of the royalty. Royal bloods are flowing through your spiritual veins. Amen. This is your house.
This is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your
we
Yes.
This afternoon, Father, we'd like to thank you. After such a wonderful testimony, Father. After such a wonderful sermon, Father.
Yes.
We'd like to thank you, Father.
Thank
because
you.
Each and everything, Father, that has happened this morning, Father, it has just demonstrated, Father, that we are your products. We are your attributes, Father. And being your attributes, Father, being your products, Father, we are the products of grace.
Yes.
Because, Father, when we look into our lives, look into our ways, look how our lives has panned out, we can look back, Father, and say it was grace that brought us through. Because, Father, when we look into our lives and how it has gone forth, there is nothing, Father, that we could have done, Father, that we could have been through our wisdom, Father. Because, Father, each and every time, Father, when we look, Father, into our ways, Father, were the wrong ways, Father.
Yes.
The only right way, Father, was your way, Father. And at this morning, Father, we'd like to thank you, Father, for your blood, Father. Because this morning, Father, we can sing because of that blood, Father, that we are a child of a king. That your royal blood, Father, flows through us, Father.
Yes.
That the spirit, Father, even the family spirit that could have caught through us, Father, that we could have inherited, Father, it has been washed off, Father.
Exactly.
The spirit of arrogance, Father.
Thank
the spirit, Father, of arrogance, the spirit, Father, of the spirit, Father, of stubbornness, Father.
Yes.
That could have been there to our family, Father. It has been written off, Father. Father, that the only thing that exists, Father, in us, Father, is your habits, Father. That is why, Father, we can say, Father, with strength, Father. We can say it, Father, believing it, Father, that we have your mind, Father.
Yes.
That we have the mind of Christ, Father. Mm. Because Father, we know that the mind, like your word tells us, Father, it has become a battleground.
Yes.
But, Father, when we have the mind of Christ, Father, the devil has no chance.
Exactly.
Because each and everything, Father, that is going to emanate from our life, Father, will be that it is written. Just
yes.
as it is written, Father, because we realize, Father, that when the devil tempted you, Father, the only way, Father, you could defeat him, Father, was when you were telling him that it is written. That men cannot live by bread alone, Father, but by every word that comes forth from the mind, from the mouth of God, Father, men can live, Father. And this morning, Father, you have fed us with your word, Father, and for that, Father, we'd like to thank you, Father. A vision has come out of the pastor, Father.
Yes.
May you please, Father, strengthen him, Father. May you please reveal more unto him, Father, to come and feed us, Father.
Mm.
We are your sheep, Father.
Yes.
You are the chief shepherd, Father.
Exactly.
We are dependent on you, Father. We know, Father, that each and every time you take us unto harvest, Father, it is the right harvest.
Yes.
But it is the right harvest that is laced with the right vitamins, right minerals, Father,
yes.
that can make us to grow, Father, to be the men and women that this message is supposed to produce, Father.
Yes.
For that, Father, we would like to thank this message of the hour, Father. Mm. Because without it, we don't know who is
exactly.
May you please bless each and every person that is in here, Father. We know what you know what is our heart desire. You know what is it that we need, Father. But the main thing that we need, Father, is you in our life.
Yes.
You leading us. We'd like to thank you, Father. May you please bless each and every person that has come here, Father. Even those who are not able to come, Father. You are the one who knows the reason. Will you please bless them as well, Father? We pray, believing in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We appreciate you. I appreciate your presence. We appreciate your support. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to meet up with you on Sundays and Wednesdays. We appreciate everything. Amen. I'm not here next week. I'm preaching for Brother Brian Naidu in El Dorado Park in the morning. In the afternoon, I'm preaching for Brother George Martin. So in the morning, I will be in El Dorado Park. And then afternoon, I'm at Brother George Martin's church. Amen. So those that would want to join us for the second service at Brother George Martin tomorrow, it starts at 4:30. Amen. God bless you. And I'm happy that even when I'm not around, you keep the fires burning.
Amen.
Amen. Some churches, when the pastor is not there, they are not going. They say, pastor's not there. But here, you see, we've got eagles that fly where the weight is, whether the pastor is there or not today. Amen. So God bless you richly for supporting the local ministry. We've got able ministers that will be able to bless you in my absence here. But Wednesday, I'm here. Amen. Shall we say Amazing Grace, the new version? Let's just sing it. And thereafter, you remember the library has got some fundraising thing. We've got the books that are available, an updated version of the
book of the Acts of the Prophet by Brother Peregrine. A new edition has been released. Just go to the librarian and make sure that you order it. You should be able to get it in no time. Just give us maybe a week as a turnaround time. You will have your copy. How many remember the old version? Make sure that you get the new version as well. Interesting stuff. God bless you richly. Amazing grace. Let's turn around and say to your neighbor, God bless you richly. Others from the United Kingdom have already confirmed they are coming. So the best way to prepare for a convention is to be on our knees and pray for the convention, that God must just take us from this level to the next level. Amen. Not forgetting, we've got Brother Steve Francis as our one of the ministers in the convention. We've got Brother Obet Dioka coming back. We've got a Brother Joseph Latola from Cape Town, from Brother Beckett's church. It's going to be an awesome time. I have no doubt about it. It's going to be a blessed time. And as I indicated, believers from Brother George Martin, some of them will be with us. and as well as from Brother Brian Naidu. So we are happy with what the leadership team is doing here and with how you are supporting them. These things, we do it for the body, folks. Amen. It's not for personal glory, it's not for our name, but we are doing it for the bride of Jesus Christ. But let's pray for the meetings. In any way that you would want to help, we know normally some brothers will approach the trustees and say, I'm giving you this as a contribution to the convention. Nothing is preventing you from doing that. Amen. The hand that giveth is the hand that shall receive a blessing. Hallelujah. So as it is a custom for those that normally do and those that would want to do it, you are at liberty to approach the trustees, but we want to have successful meetings.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you richly. If you want us to come to your house to eat lunch, we will definitely come. Amen. You just tell the trustees, we'll avail ourselves. God bless you richly. Now, the last one, the song is a Zulu one, just to interpret those that may not know, is the last one. Heavens have agreed that I must move forward and prosper. And the Bible says the word of God shall not ever return to him void. It just shall accomplish what it was sent for. It shall prosper for the thing that it was sent for. Heaven have agreed that I'm a son of God. Heaven have agreed that you are a daughter of God. Let's sing it. You are dismissed. Have a blessed and victorious week. We love you. You can go to the library. They've got something there for you for refreshment, fundraising. Support them. Oh yes. God bless you.